Amen. Thank God for another worship experience, and thank God for another first Sunday as we now are partaking of our Lord's Supper. We're reading the scriptures from the screen, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 30, and this is the paraphrased version of the Bible. For this is what the Lord himself has said about his table, and I pass it on to you before, that on the night when Judas betrayed him, the Lord Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks to God for it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take this and eat it. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new agreement between God and you that has been established and set in motion by my blood. Do this in remembrance of me whenever you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are retelling the message of the Lord's death, that he has died for you. Do this until he comes again. So if anyone eats this bread and drinks from this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, he is guilty of sin against the body and blood of the Lord. That is why a man should examine himself carefully before eating the bread and drinking from the cup. For if he eats the bread and drinks from the cup unworthily, not thinking about the body of Christ and what it means, he is eating and drinking God's judgment upon himself, for he is trifling with the death of Christ. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. Let us pray. Master, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for grace. We thank you, O God, for forgiveness. As we now look back at the day when you gave your life on the cross, you gave your hands, you gave your side, you gave your head, you gave yourself, you gave your back, you gave your feet, you gave your very being, because you so loved the world that you gave your only you was God's only son for as a sacrifice for our sins. And so we say thank you. Purge us and have mercy upon us, Lord, for we know you know we have not been, we are not perfect beings. So we ask for mercy. We thank you and we claim every victory that comes through communion. Every healing, we thank you for spiritual, physical, and all the healing that it may bring to us. And we praise you, for we know that it was your body that was given for our sins. And we thank you right now. Forgive us and have mercy upon us as we respect and recognize and remember this sacrificial, you being our sacrificial lamb. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Amen. So at this time we are going to partake of our communion. And he took the bread. And the Bible says, after he had given thanks, he said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is a new testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it, do it in remembrance of me. We say hallelujah to the Lamb and thank God for Jesus, for what he has done for us. And we praise the Lord for all his many blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
You can't live without me. Why do you?
service, guidance in all that we do. May your name be glorified. Thank you for these who've come. We ask, oh God, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We know that the Bible says, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it, and that we ought to be doers of the word and not hearers only. It says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says, the Bible says, unto the churches. We're looking at James chapter 4, James chapter 4, and verse 15. The book of James next to the book of Hebrews, over near the book of the Revelation, before you get to Peter's, to the Peter's, James chapter 4. The book of James chapter 4, and we're looking at verse 15. It says, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. So today we want to talk about taking God's blessings for granted. Amen. Taking God's blessings for granted. Because someone has said that the best things in life are free. The best things in life are those things that money cannot buy. The best things in life don't cost us nothing. And that's what makes it easy to overlook it, I think, is because of the fact that it is free. And we know that since the best things in life are free, oftentimes they are unvalued. Oftentimes they are unappreciated. Oftentimes they are taken for granted. When I think about taking something for granted, it represents a failure to properly appreciate something or someone. It is a failure to properly appreciate something or someone. And we know that to appreciate something means that it means to recognize something for its full value. To recognize it for its full value. And so oftentimes when things are unappreciated, it means that it is not recognized for its full value. The aim of our sermon is for us not to jump ahead of God. Amen. For us not to jump ahead of God. Amen. We must understand that the Bible makes it plain that oftentimes we take things for granted. We take things for granted. We take people for granted. I think about couples that take one another oftentimes for granted. And it is because of over-familiarity. And when you take them for granted, take someone for granted, it means that you quit caring and you began to not care that you hurt them. You can hurt them and not, and you don't care about it. It's not like it was at the beginning. And you don't care about someone hurting, and you begin to mistreat them and abuse the love. You start taking one another for granted. I think oftentimes people take their health for granted. They don't value a clean bill of health. They fail oftentimes to exercise, to eat right, or they eat at the wrong times. They may even smoke cigarettes that may minimize their potential for good health. And so they take their health, a clean bill of health, for granted. It is something that we must not do, because it has a way of we end up losing or missing out on something when we take something for granted. Things that are taken for granted is a situation where God wants us to recognize that that if we do it, then it has a negative impact. Amen. And because no one or nothing should be taken for granted. And as we think about that, we recognize that God, James, as he writes this letter, he wants us to be aware of the fact that as he writes as a pastor, he writes as an apostle, James writes, and he wants them to know that God is concerned about them. It is a rebuke and a disapproval for worldliness. He is writing, and he is concerned that these Christians have become too materialistic. Amen. That they are fighting. He says, from whence cometh wars and fighting from among you? Do they not come from within? Do they not come from your members? Amen. It's a desire that you have that is on the inside. And he says that you are, in verse 2, about to kill each other. You want to climb the ladder so bad, and you want success so bad, and you want materialism, possessions, and pleasure so bad that you're willing to just about kill each other. And he wants them to know that God is concerned about that, and that God will meet your needs if you pray. And in verse 3, he says that if you pray, you ask, but you receive not, because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lusts, upon your own desires. In other words, your motive is bad. You got the wrong motive. God would give you some things, but you could get things just by praying, because the Bible says that my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in Philippians 4:19 in glory. But you want it for the wrong reason. You want it because you become worldly, you become prideful, you become like the world, and you just basically, amen, may just want to keep up with the Joneses. He says, you ask and you see not, and that's just worldly thinking. And he says, friendship of the world in verse 4 is enmity against God. If you are a friend of the world, you are an enemy of God. God has a genuine lust for us. The lust of the Spirit in verse 5 from within is where God, it is God is a jealous God. That's why he said, you adulterers and adulteress in verse 4. You are jealous and God is jealous of you loving someone or something more than him. So there is then a spirit of lust. Now, since this is a lowercase s in verse 5, some believe this is the human spirit, not the Holy Spirit. If that is true, then that's going to reflect covetousness that can come in the flesh. But here he is letting them know that God want them to, God resists the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. He does not like prideful people, but he loves humble people. And he says, if you resist the devil, then he will flee from you. But you got to submit to God first. You can't resist the devil without submitting to God, because you don't have the power. Submit unto God and the devil will flee. The devil here is involved. And he says in verse 10 that I want you to, all you got to do is recognize that you got to humble yourself under the hand of God and he will lift you up. Promotion does not come from the east or the west, but promotion comes from God. But when you become so prideful, materialistic, possessional, and wanting pleasure, and you have the wrong motive for the things that you want, then God says that that won't make me answer your prayer, because your motive is not right. Amen. God tells us here, he says that I want you to love your brother in verse 11. I want you to love your brother, and that this is the law of love, I believe, according to Leviticus 19. 18, I believe it is. And he says, I want you to have a love for your brother, and don't mudsling, trying to get to the top, trying to be like the world. It is a rebuke for worldliness. God says, I don't want my Christians to become materialistic, worldly, and wanting pleasure and the things of the world. I don't want them to act like the world. And I want you to understand that in verse 12 that there's really only one lawgiver. Amen. I'm the only judge. And my judge, if you decide that you're going to hate somebody, I tell you to love, then you become the judge, because you've overruled my law. And the law is a law of love, and we're to love one another. And you are to love your brother, and we are not to have sinner or sinful ways. He says that I want you to love, and so he says, go to now. I want you to understand that. He says, I want you to understand that I want you to love. You all who are saying that I'm going to go into such and such a city, and I'm going to stay there a year, and I'm going to buy, sell, and get gain. He says, what is your life? In verse 14, amen. He says, you know not whether you'll be here on tomorrow. What is your life? It is but a vapor that appears for a short time, and then it vanishes away. He said, what you ought to do, for you ought to say, if the Lord's will, if the Lord will, I shall do this or that. So what we find here, my brothers and sisters, is that there was an oversight. There wasn't oversight, because he says, you ought to say something that you're not saying. What is it that you ought to say? Well, Eugene Peterson says that this verse means that he translates it and paraphrases, and he says that you have a habit of saying. You should not have a habit of saying you're going to do something without saying if the Lord's will. Well, what had they decided to do? We look up in verse 13. They had decided that they were going to go to such and such a place, and they're going to stay there a year. They're going to buy, they're going to sell, and they're going to get gain. And you did all of that as if you know what tomorrow is going to bring. and there was oversight. You did not pay attention to what you were saying, and you have to be careful what you say. The Bible says that there are some things that you ought to do. Amen. You ought to do. This is something that it says that we ought to do something. Amen. 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 You're living, but you're not saying, if the Lord's will, we shall do this or that. And he says that there are some things you ought to do. Amen. He got on the Pharisees about their hypocrisy, and he told them in Matthew 23:23, he says that you tell the people to tithe, and they should tithe and give anise and mint and of their garden, of their herbs. He said, this ye ought to have done. You did the right thing, but not to have left the other undone. Justice, mercy, and faith. Amen. You got to be more concerned about the person than you are the pay. And he says, you Pharisees, you ought, there are some things you ought to do. The Bible says that there are some things we ought to do. Because if we're not careful, we won't do what we ought to do and do what we ought not do. And the Bible says in Luke 18:1 that man ought to always pray. He ought to always pray and not faint. That's what he ought to do. There are a lot of things that the Bible says that we ought to do, amen, as being Christians, children of God. He says that in order for us not to be worldly, amen. But it happened. There was an oversight and there was an overlooking. He said, you've overlooked the fact that you may not be here tomorrow. Amen. He says in verse 14, he said, you know not whether there will be a tomorrow. Amen. Amen. He says, what is your life? You've gotten beside yourself, and you've gotten so caught up in worldliness till you forgot that you don't have to be here tomorrow. There's no guarantee. God has not told you when you were going to die. You need to live in anticipation that God could call the roll at any moment. And you're not recognizing that the Bible says that what is your life? It is a vapor. It is like one version says, like a morning fog. Amen. It's like, another one says, it's like steam. Amen. We're really not here that long. We're here for a short time. We're here for a little time. And we can get caught up and not recognize our temporary status. We can get caught up in thinking that we're going to live forever, that we're going to always, amen, amen, never going to have a funeral. He said, you don't know if you're going to be here tomorrow. How you going to say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to go over here, I'm going to go over there? You don't even know if you're going to be here tomorrow. Amen. He said, you've overlooked an awesome reality. And that is that you could leave tonight. It happened in the Bible that God told a man who was building his barns, he said, you fool, you could die tonight. And who shall all these things that you put before me be? Well, the fact of the matter is that he lets them know that you got to be careful when you start trying get and gain and grab and go here and talk about what you're going to do. He said, you said this is what we will go into the such and such a city, but it's not we will, but it's if God wills. You're talking about what you will, as if you are going to live forever. He says you've overlooked your temporary status. You've overlooked it, and you made your plans. These are the things you intend to do, but you didn't recognize that God could interrupt your plans. Amen. God could interrupt our plans. There is no guarantee that we are going to be here. And no doubt it happens without our knowing it. We just kind of think nothing ain't going to happen to us. Amen. The fact of the matter is that, yes, something will if Christ tarries. And he's trying to get them to know that how they ought to say. He says, you have overlooked an awesome reality, and that is that you're not going to be here always. And so he says that you need to recognize that, that life is something that is temporary. It is not something that lasts forever. He says that ye ought to say, if, amen, that conditional clause, if, it doesn't mean that you got to go around everywhere you go saying, if the Lord's will, I'm going to drink some coffee. If the Lord's will, I'm going to be there. You don't have to repeat, reverberate this everywhere you go, but in your mind, in your character, in your conduct, in your behavior, there should be that ongoing understanding that if the Lord's will, amen, and you need to keep it within your spirit, deep down inside, that you should live in a conscious state of if it be the Lord's will. And as you formalize it more to others, is when they ask you things, it's always important to keep that. Amen. They kept it around when I was growing up. Man, you used to hear it all the time. If the Lord's will, if the Lord's will. That word can kind of fade it out now. Amen. Everybody forgot. Amen. And so it says, if the Lord's will, it ought to be, your behavior ought to demonstrate, one commentary says, your behavior ought to demonstrate the fact that you are conscious of the fact that you will not always be. Well, the fact of the matter is that you got to live in a state of recognizing that God may interrupt our plans. And while they are trying to drive the best and have the best and get fulfilled with all their pleasures, he says that you don't want to take God, amen, for granted. Amen. There was an oversight in that they did not see the fact that should have said the Lord's will. Amen. They overlooked the reality that the Lord is the one who has all the power, and that God is the one who is able to sustain life, and he is the one that is in charge, and that we should never get to the point of thinking that we can plan, amen, presumptuously, presume means to assume that you're going to always be here. Well, he says that I want you to say, you ought to say, amen, that's an oversight of yours, the Lord's will. But you see where the Lord is being overlooked. He says, if that conditional clause there, if it be the Lord's will, he said, that's really what you ought to be saying. That's really how you ought to phrase it. That's really what ought to be in your spirit. That's really what the way you ought to feel down inside. You ought to say, if the Lord's will, amen. Because if it's not the Lord's will, we do this or that. If it's the Lord's will, number one, that we live, your presence is important. Have you decided that you're going to be here when God said you were not going to be here? How do you know you're going to be present? You need to at least see if you're going to live first. Amen. You first see if you're going to be alive. And then maybe there'll be some activity. And then you will do what the Almighty God wants you to do. Amen. You say, I'm going to do it if the Lord's will. Amen. I can't afford to overlook the Lord. Amen. Amen. I can't overlook the Lord, because the Bible says that in him we live, move, and have our being, in Acts chapter 17, verse 28. The Bible says in John chapter 15 and verse 5 that without me ye can do nothing. Amen. We are dependent upon God Almighty. And the Bible says that, how do you know that the earth is going to be standing? Amen. You may, amen, amen. You're talking about you're going to get to tomorrow. Tomorrow may not come, and if it does come, you may not get there. Although it get here, you may not get there. Tomorrow may come, but you may not be there to see tomorrow. Well, the fact of the matter is, he says that I am the one who has hung the earth in suspension, according to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. It says that he upholdeth all things by the word of his power, suspended in space. Earth that is 6.6 septillion tons, I'm told, just hanging out in space, and is upheld by the hand of God, according to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. He upholds all things by the word of his power. Just because he says so, he has the power to pull the plug on everything. Everything go out. The stars go out. The moon drop. The stars, sun quit shining. The earth drop. Everything is held in place by this omnipotent, powerful God. And he determines whether you live or not. And you can't omit him. Amen. Isn't he the one that gives you, don't I need him to breathe? Amen. Don't I need him to think? Isn't he the one that's got to keep me clothed in my right mind? Isn't he the one that I depend on? Isn't he the one that grows the food? Isn't that his food? Didn't he say, let there be cabbage? Didn't he say, let there be tomatoes? Didn't he send the eagles through the sky? Didn't he send the chickens across the yard? God says that you overlooking my awesome power. Well, let me get on. The truth of the matter is that God says that don't you need me? Amen. Are you going to live so presumptuously that, amen, you need to know, don't you think you ought to be praising me and that you ought to be thanking me? Don't you think you ought to, amen, thank me for your food? Don't you think you ought to pray to me at night? Amen. Don't you think that you ought to read my word and do what I want you to do? Amen. Or are you just going to take my blessings for granted? Are you aware that you don't have to be breathing? You're blessed to be able to walk. You're blessed to be able to see. You're blessed to be able to talk. You're blessed with hearing. You're blessed. You're blessed. And when I think about it, we must recognize that we cannot take God's blessings for granted. Amen. We take others for granted, but we cannot take God for granted. And I think about these God bless shores of America. I think about the fact that we cannot omit me. He said, I determine whether you do this or that. Now, the fact is that you ought to do God's will. Amen. And the other thing that you want to do, you got to get his permission and recognize that you don't have to do that either. But you ought to be doing God's will. But the fact of the matter is that he says that God is the one who's saying that I am the one who saved you. I'm the one who allowed you to live, and you cannot afford, amen, to take my blessings for granted. I'm the one that made you the most powerful nation on the earth. I'm the one that made you rich. And I'm the one that made you powerful. I'm the one that did it. God says, amen, I am the one. And you cannot omit me. I'm being omitted in the schools. Amen. I'm being omitted. Amen. When you get ready to pray, I'm being omitted in your laws. I'm being omitted in your communities. I'm being omitted. I'm being deleted. God says that don't you recognize that you need my protection and that amen, that I'm the one that's really keeping you. I'm the one that's really blessing you. I'm the one that's really preserving you. I'm the one that's providing. I'm the one that's protecting you. Amen. When you say, God, I want you to bless America. Amen. God is the one who blesses America. But we can't get beside ourselves and think that if we don't live or obey God's word like we should, if we omit him, we're not careful, we'll be taking our blessings for granted, and then we'll need God and he won't respond. Because anything you abuse, if you kick it too long, amen, you abuse it, you could lose it. Amen. You mean God bless you with health, you can't abuse it. You cannot eat right. You can smoke all you want to. You can drink yourself to your liver. You can abuse things. And although God blesses you, you can take those blessings for granted. You can say, they'll always be there. They'll always be there. so I don't have to worry about him. God will always be there. I don't have to worship him. I don't have to, amen. I don't have to serve him. I don't have to praise him. He'll be there, amen, in the midnight hour. God's going to wake me up tomorrow. It doesn't matter if I'm worldly or not, if I'm trying to use all of my strength to get things in the world or not. It does not matter. God is forgiving. God is merciful. Yes, he is. But you can abuse God. Amen. Mercy won't always, you can take for granted. There are people now that won't get saved. Amen. They're taking salvation for granted, thinking that they're going to live long enough to get saved. Little do they know, they may not, amen, live the rest of this year. We didn't have no idea when the year started that this would be, amen, that 152,000 people would be dead as of today. We didn't plan it. Amen. We had no idea of knowing that billions of airlines would be filing for bank, billions of dollars by airlines would be filing for bankruptcy. We had no idea that athletes who would cancel contracts that are would give them $35 million for the next 3 years. And you read about these athletes because they didn't see these things coming because we have overlooked the reality of Almighty God. God, it says, I'm the one that holds everything in place. I'm important. I'm important. And I'm so important that you cannot overlook me. You've got to always keep me in your view. You've always got to keep me in your mouth. You cannot exist without me. Oh, because I'm the one that can make you the head and not the tail. I'm the one that can make you above and not beneath. I'm the one that will make you more than a conqueror. I'm the one that said I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Don't forsake me. I won't forsake you. I will protect you. I will provide. I will preserve. I will keep you. But don't become so worldly and put me in the back seat and say, I'm going to be here tomorrow and then I can just do whatever I want to do. I'm going to use all of my energy and do all I can to get as much of God's world. I want God's world, but I don't want him. I want God's creation, but I don't want the Creator. Well, if we want God to bless America, if we want God to continue to bless America, we must recognize that we must always continue to obey God. We must always continue, amen, to make God first. Because the Bible says that while you're trying to grab and get and gain all these things in the world, the fact of the matter is that your Heavenly Father already know what things you have need of before you ask, according to Matthew 6:32. The Bible says that all these things do the Gentiles seek. Verse 31 says, take no thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. And he says that I am the one. If you're not careful, you can wake up without God. You can abuse God. You can neglect God. Samson thought that God would always be there, but he found out that I didn't keep my part of the bargain with God. And I woke up one day after I got a haircut and I found out all of my strength was gone. No more strength for Samson. Because he took it for granted that God will always be there. We cannot take God for granted. The fact is that we do often take too much for granted. And Father, I thank you for your goodness. Help us, help it to be indelibly stamped in our minds that you are God, that there are things that we should not, oh God, take for granted. Couples shouldn't take one another. We should not take our health for granted. Oh God, I pray right now that you would help us to realize that there's some things that we can take for granted, and that our biggest mistake is to have the oversight and not recognize. We can intend to plan to do this, but we know that you can interrupt our personal plans. Help us to recognize, God, that we cannot omit you. We need you, oh God. We need you. We can't live without you. We need you in our individual lives. We need you internationally. We need you to protect us. And we thank you right now. Help us to leave this place knowing that we must never, ever, amen, take you for granted. And now may the Lord bless thee, keep thee, make his face to shine upon thee. May the Lord lift his countenance upon thee and give you his peace. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.